Nice red lightsaber there. Yes.
Thanks.
Hello, interwebs.
Oh, hold on. Wait one sec. Nope. I don't want to be Sith anymore.
Aw, you're just like a certain character we'll be talking a little bit about today in Tales of the Empire. Welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Joe.
And I'm Ryan.
As I said right 2 seconds ago, Tales of the Empire is our topic today. Full spoilers ahead for that show. But it's like an hour long if you watch all 6 episodes, so just watch it and come back here. Also, probably spoilers ahead for The Clone Wars Season 5, the final arc, The Mandalorian Season 2, The Ahsoka Show, potentially.
Ahsoka.
Just bits and bobs of Star Wars, anything to do with Morgan Elsbeth and Barisafi. So, yeah. Let's get into Tales of the Empire. And, well, let's get into our medium shot first, actually. So what was your hype level getting into this show? We're a little all over the place today.
Well, coming off of, you know, just Star Wars love and seeing Tales of the Jedi last year, when they said that they were doing Tales of the Empire, I was pretty hyped. And then they show the trailer, and I was like, oh, Barriss. That's cool. And then they showed Morgan Elsbeth, and I was like, who's that again? I had to remind myself who that was. I was like, oh, okay. This could be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like my quick medium.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed half of Tales of the Jedi. Okay, that's not true. I enjoyed a little more than half. I love the Dooku episodes. The Ahsoka ones were... okay, I've already seen a lot of Ahsoka, so I'm not learning a whole lot new about her, but this is kind of cool to see. So I was cautiously optimistic when they announced Tales of the Empire. I thought, wow, okay, is Disney finally going to have the balls to tell Imperial-focused stories about actual bad guys? As it turns out, half true, but... I have some criticisms about that, but so I was cautiously optimistic. I wasn't like raving about Tales of the Jedi. I think that's Close Up episode 30 something. If you want to go see our thoughts on that, it's like 32 or 33 somewhere in there. And yeah, so here we are on Tales of the Empire, 6 more short episodes in Star Wars. What I'll say right off the hop is I am glad that they group these episodes better than Tales of the Jedi. Tales of the Jedi, I understood they were doing a chronological order thing based on the timeline, but it was weird to have an Ahsoka episode to start, then 3 Dooku, then 2 Ahsokas. This, they just said... fine, we're not doing that. We got 3 Morgan Elsbeths. It starts in the Clone Wars. It ends after the Empire's fall. The Barisafi ones are more... she's got her trilogy, and we're just... okay, we're 3 and 3. There we go. So it's not as weirdly structured. That I appreciated right off the bat.
Yeah, I totally agree. Not that it bothered me that much when I watched Tales of the Jedi, but it
just
was
a little weird.
It was just very much structured better in terms of how this, I don't even know if I can call it a season, this short miniseries. I don't even know what to call it.
I guess it's a miniseries. I mean, yeah. It's an anthology. It's a limited series anthology thing.
It's like what they used to do for certain animated movies back in the mid-2000s, or just any movies, where they would just throw in, like, a prologue comic book, and you just read that before the movie.
Yeah.
If anybody remembers that.
Yeah, that rings a bell, for sure.
It's kind of what these are, but also not.
Yeah. So, should we go episode by episode here? Give our general thoughts on the series first, or?
Yeah, we can go episode by episode. It seems smarter.
Yeah, sure. So episode 1, The Path of Fear. This is the one where we see the extermination of the Night Sisters from the perspective of Morgan Elsbeth. The Pretty genocide good. Was very well helmed. I think it's very visually striking immediately. I could tell right off that the animation is definitely a far cry away from where it was in Clone Wars. And it was good back then, for sure. But they've come a long way since then. And even just on the back of The Bad Batch Season 3, which I was blown away by in terms of animation specifically. Watch our last leisure list. I talk more about it there. But I thought what they could do with that technology at Lucasfilm for animation is... it's awe-inspiring what they're doing in terms of CGI work on these shows now. And the best episodes of The Bad Batch were especially captivating in that regard. But you can tell that they only put their best money on the first and last and some episodes of that show. Just because they are still doing 14 to 16 episode seasons. So I think whatever they could do well on that show, they put their full effort into this because they're like, okay, it's 10 to 15 minute episodes. So we can use the full force of our technology the entire time on Tales of the Empire. And the effort shows. What they're doing there is just pushing film technology forward in a way that I think is going to be very beneficial for CGI in general, live action, animated, television, what have you. They're doing some pretty revolutionary work here.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially that dirt shot. The dirt shot was crazy. I saw that when watching it and live, I was like, holy crap, that looks like real dirt. But this is still animation. How is this possible? It's crazy how far they've come since, what, 2008?
Yeah,
2008. It's insane, like, leaps and bounds.
Mind you, this... come
in terms of animation.
Yes. Though, I do worry that this might lead the animation industry down a copycat road, I'll say, stylistically, just because Lucasfilm is pioneering photorealistic CGI, I worry that other animators are going to just take that, like kind of like they did with the Spider-Verse style or the Pixar style before that, and just be like, oh, everything's photorealistic animation now. Oh, thanks. Maybe I just should watch a live action movie then. It's good to have the technology there, but you know how it is. Anytime something new and groundbreaking comes along, there's a million copycats trying to jump on its success.
Too worried about that, but it is, I guess, because you will lose some stylistic points from just animation, but I think it all, what I'm not worried about, or why I'm not worried about it, Jesus Christ, I'm tired, is just how the character models look. They still look the same as they did back in the show and even the movie, but they're just more refined. So they still kept their style. But yeah, I could see, weirdly enough, someone in the future is like, hey, we did an animated feature, but everybody looks real, like actually real. It's like, well, then why don't you just film a live action? It's like, oh, it's just an experiment.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, think about it this way, right? You got photorealistic animation from these Dave Filoni shows at Lucasfilm, like The Bad Batch and Tales of the Empire most recently, but they've been building this technology for, you know, how long? 16 years now, at least 17 years. And also at Lucasfilm, you look at technology like in Rogue One is off the top of my head, where you bring in actors back from the dead, like CGI Tarkin, CGI Leia. And so between motion capture technologies, bringing old actors back, and photorealistic vehicles and space and planets and whatnot, it's going to, I feel like we're setting the groundwork for a very uncanny valley future of filmmaking where you can create photorealistic stories just based on motion capture and animation. You could do some very interesting things, but it could also get very scary. I'm just fear-mongering a little bit, but I'm also really excited to see what they could do.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I guess I'm just not as afraid because there's still just so many different... Like, the animation world is so vast and different that I think people's stylistic choices are still going to come through.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Anyway. I don't...
But Lucasfilm, not so much.
Yeah, that I'm not necessarily fear-mongering about the style points fading away. I think there'll be a lot of copycats and then something else revolutionary will come. I'm just talking more that it's laying the groundwork for media in general to have just one more excuse to step away from live-action productions. We're already at this point where filmmakers are lazy and just want to use CGI for everything instead of building practical. Oh, we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post. That's the predominant mindset nowadays. And this technology is just giving you more room to use that excuse. So,
right.
Not, once again, I feel like the first things that'll use these technologies will be, they'll probably be great. And if you use it, it's a tool. We always say this when it's CGI versus practical, it's a tool to be used in just your arsenal of filmmaking. But I worry that it'll get overused because it is getting really good. And clearly their turnaround times are getting faster with it too. You're not just making good CGI, you're making good CGI a lot more quickly and can pump out a lot more quantity with it. Based on Bad Batch Season 3 and Tales of the Empire. So it's just like anything new, it's exciting, it's a little scary, and I have to see what they do with it to judge more. But I'm starting to see what they're doing, and I'm like, a show like Tales of the Empire, I think, is a bit of a bigger deal than you might think on the surface. Like, oh, it's a little Star Wars limited anthology, but it like behind the scenes it's representing a bit more than that with what they're actually pulling off with it.
Yeah, I mean, these anthologies is basically Lucasfilm's version of the Toy Story movies. It's like you're going to show off the animation leaps that we've made over the past couple of years. They did that with Jedi or Tesla Jedi, and they also did that here. Yeah.
But back to the episode, genocide. Fun topic to start off your first episode. And
looks sick.
Yeah, what I love the look of General Grievous specifically. I think this is the scariest he's ever been, even in live action. Okay, maybe second scariest. I always think back to the Genndy Tartakovsky 2D Clone Wars, where his introduction with all the Jedi in the crashed starship and surrounded by battle droids, and then they just hear the creaking through the creaking of the metal. You hear his footsteps, you hear some breathing, and Caddy Mundy's like, steady, steady. And then the apprentice gets slaughtered because he just runs out and Grievous kills him. Then he slaughters all the Jedi Masters. This is the second scariest Grievous has been from that. But I think, once again, going back to the animation, just the textures of his armor, he used to look more plasticky, I'll say, but now he's looking more legitimately metallic. And I think that was the biggest difference. Like, oh, this is actually a robot, not just a cheap manufactured battle droid or something. It made it look more grounded and real. And I think they did something with his cape, too. His cape is wider or more imposing.
Yeah. Well, I think also they kind of took it back to that micro series a little bit, too, where Grievous is just basically toying with these with the Night Sisters.
Yes.
He's not, you know, he's kind of, it's a weird thing to say when you're talking about genocide, but he's having fun with it at the same time. And that's what's scary about it too. He barely talks. I think he only has one line, maybe two. But yeah, he's laughing as he's killing all these Night Sisters. He's barely putting up a fight against one of the main ones or one of the leaders. And it's just scary to see that. But yeah, I agree. His animation and the way he's textured and everything has given a huge upgrade, and just is he's always been a somewhat scary character, but this is when I was like, oh fuck, he's a huge deal.
And he killed her mother, correct? Morgan Elsbeth's mother.
They all called each other mother or sister, so I don't...
sister, yeah.
It's weird.
I just find it interesting.
So I assume that she was, like, the mother of her clan. Because, like, I don't know how...
I mean, I know Mother Talzin was
maybe it was his actual mother.
Mother Talzin was the head of the clan, but you're right. Maybe it was just a title. Anyway, Grievous killed somebody Morgan really cared about, along with her entire clan, of course. But this is one of the shortfalls, I think, of such a limited series, is I wanted to see more in depth about Morgan's fight with the Separatists. Did she ever fight the Separatists again after she survived this? Did she just sort of become a free agent until the Empire took over? Like, did she ever go after Grievous again for revenge? It's weird in a story like this, because you feel like, oh, this person killed my mother or mentor, I'm going to go for revenge on them. But she doesn't really. She kind of has a half-assed attempt at reclaiming Dathomir in this episode, which blows up in her face. And then we skip forward 10, 15 years.
So. Yeah, it's pretty, it's just so strange, just like, and we'll talk about more in the episodes, but it's like, they set up a great, like, trio of episodes or an arc for her, and then it just kind of goes nowhere. But it's like, yeah, okay, her whole family is murdered by, Grievous and the Separatists, and then you just kind of get thrown into just like, okay, the Separatists are now gone like in the second episode, and now she's the head of this village, and it's like, well, how did she even get there? How did, like, blah blah blah, and it's just all this like little stuff that's like, and it's kind of, I have the same critique kind of for this whole season that you did with the Ahsoka episodes last year, where it was like, it was cool and decent to see, but I didn't really need it. Like, it didn't make me care more about this character who, spoiler alert, canonically is dead, so it doesn't even fucking matter where she's from.
Barriss, I was more interested in.
Barriss was different.
Which we're still talking about Morgan. So, but we'll get to Barriss later. But Morgan, you nearly had me invested from the first episode. Like, every one of these episodes could have been an interesting starting point, but there was so much unexplored in between them that it never felt cohesive. And that goes with the Barriss one, too. It's just a general problem with this show. And I guess they did that in season one as well with Tales of the Jedi. But I never felt like I was missing that much between Dooku's life in between, because I'm like, okay, he went on more Jedi adventures. You cover through exposition that he met Sidious, and like we catch up with Dooku at the major turning points of his life, which made sense. With Morgan Elsbeth, I felt like there were a lot of major, and Barriss, I felt like there were major parts of their lives that we just glossed over.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, you could have done all. That's
kind of really disappointing about this entire show for me, is that with the Tales of the Jedi, with the Dooku arc especially, which I regard, and I think some people regard, as some of the best Star Wars content that's ever been produced.
I agree.
From just the animation department, is that we get an insight into how Dooku became who he was, and how he turned away from the Jedi and all the Jedi Council in particular. But with here, like, Morgan Elsbeth, it's like, okay, her family gets murdered, and next episode, she's on a different planet. Oh, okay, she's on a different planet in that city, which I fully admit the production design team for this the show and their recreation of that quote-unquote live-action set that they did on The Mandalorian. Insane. It's spectacular. Like, it's a one-for-one recreation. It blew my mind. But, and you're just like, okay, she's taken over this town, but why? Like, why is she taking over this town? Why is she, like, doing stuff? And then Thrawn shows up. You're like, oh, sick. Thrawn's here. That's cool. We get a Thrawn cameo. Next episode. I don't even remember. I just remember episode 3 happening and being like, well, that was a waste of an arc. That was a waste of 3 episodes that probably could have been spent on someone a bit more interesting.
Okay, I got 2 points. I want to comment on the production design bit. I thought the production design was good for maybe just a couple of the episodes. I liked that recreation of Morgan's town from The Mandalorian. I liked the recreation of the Inquisitor base from Jedi Fallen Order, Kenobi. We've probably even more things. We've seen that base a couple times now, but
yeah,
those were just recreations. Everything else, wherever they went, I felt was kind of generic. I'm like, okay, here's an ice planet for bears to go on. Here's like a generic village they go to. Here's the generic Star Wars prison I feel like I've seen a million times. Here's like, okay, like vaguely Dathomirian locales. I'm like, okay, I know it's Dathomir, but just, there were a couple of very detailed, very well thought out places, and I feel like the production design team was just like, yeah, whatever. Here's a kind of rough vibe that's Star Wars-y, and we're only here for 2 seconds in a limited series. Whatever. Whatever. We're putting more effort into the stuff people remember because we're spending more time here. And the Inquisitor base at Morgan's town there. So, and I don't blame them, but I did notice that those two areas had distinctly more effort put into them than everything else. And as for the why Morgan did this and that, the only thing I can think of is that this show seems to be about belonging, or like trying to find belonging. This show is about two women who grew up in these very insular orders and then had it all taken away from them. And now they're trying to find out how they can fit in somewhere else. And I think that's what every episode is about, is Morgan and Barriss trying to fit in somewhere. And that's where their paths differ. It's Morgan starts off a nice sister. She gets crushed. So she tries to fit in with that the mountain tribe, but she's way too aggressive for them and ends up getting them killed too. And then she tries to fit in with her this village that she becomes the leader of. She tries to sell TIE fighters to the Empire so that her village can be taken care of. She wants these people to care for her, but they just see her as the witch who lives up on the hill. And then she's like, fine, screw you guys. I tried to take care of you and you just see me as the witch. So fine, I'm going to subjugate you because I have the power to do that. That's how you see me. Then I'm going to be what you think I am. Though she did find belonging with Thrawn and the Empire that way. So she's like, fine, my village doesn't like me. My people are destroyed. So Thrawn is the only person who ever saw potential in me and only asked for competency in return. So my loyalty is to him. Screw everybody else. Even the New Republic, even when there's a show of force on my doorstep asking my group to join the New Republic, my loyalty is still to Thrawn. Because what's the New Republic ever done for me? They couldn't save Dathomir. They couldn't, like, the Old Republic couldn't save Dathomir. It's just politics. And the Empire never did crap all for Morgan either. She's loyal to Thrawn. And then you see Barriss, who's like, okay, fine, the Jedi are destroyed. So, like, I don't know, someone offered me to join the Inquisitors. That's better than jail, I guess. And then she's like, fine, I guess I can do this. It may require sacrificing some morals, but it's a place to stay. And then she's like, oh, well, they're actually super evil, and I don't think I can do this. So I guess she kind of comes full circle to see, okay, where I belong is where I left in the first place. Like, my Jedi teachings, I don't belong with the Jedi, I don't belong with the Empire, but I still, where I belong is helping people. That's what I was raised to do. Kind of be a free agent that way. So it wasn't the most clear or the best handled the entire time, but that's what I get out of this show, is just these women trying to find a place for themselves after having their whole lives uprooted.
That's a good, that's the word I'm looking for.
Synopsis.
Oh my god. Yeah, synopsis of the
condensing,
whole, whole show. And it's cute what they try to do, but they have to have it make sense. Like, like, I'm sorry, it's like, the Morgan stuff is cute. It's like, okay. Like, again, I don't know how many people, besides maybe fans of the actress, because she's pretty good, care about Morgan Elsbeth. Like, I really don't see, like, the pull for her. I really don't understand it. I thought it was cool that she was back in the Ahsoka show. I thought it was like, okay, she's, and then I think it was revealed there that she was a witch, or maybe it was a throwaway line in the second season of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then,
that's the most interesting thing about her, is that she's a Night Sister who works for the Empire. Okay. That's a cool concept.
Yeah. Great concept. And then when it starts to get interesting, like when she gets recruited by Thrawn, and then when she, you know, is about to take over, or she murders the New Republic people, it just cuts off. And I know it's a short series. I know they're supposed to be shorts. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, you've just built up my interest. And it's kind of like that with some of the Barriss episodes too. And that just ends. It's not what I felt during Tales of the Jedi. Or it's like the Dooku stuff. Like, first episode, him and, excuse me. Him and,
Qui-Gon.
Oh my god. Qui-Gon are on this planet. You start to see the dark side come out of him a little bit, and he's starting to see the
corruption,
the hypocrisy of the Jedi Council. Same thing in the second episode where he's with Windu. And then the third episode, it's him fully turning. It's like, okay, here's a full arc.
Yeah, the first episode he sees, was
before we saw him.
The first episode, he sees the corruption of the Senate, the senators hoarding all the wealth and letting his people starve. The second one, he sees the corruption of the Jedi Council and also the Republic again. The third one, he's doing something about it because Qui-Gon died, and that was the final straw. He's like, fine, I'm done with the Republic, I'm done with the Jedi, and I have no reason to hold back anymore now. These were more, okay, I kind of get where you're going, but you're not really spelling it out. I have to figure it out, which I kind of respect a little bit. Like, it is there to pick apart, but it doesn't hold your hand, which is, it's fine, but I just feel weird having a criticism. Like, I wish the point was more obvious, because I do think it's there. It's just not on the surface.
It's there, but it does, like, we don't care about it. Because,
yeah.
I'm sorry, it's just, okay, so we could get into the fucking episodic nature of it again, but
yeah,
the Dooku stuff, that was a full arc. I could see that entire arc of Dooku turning to the dark side.
Three decent Morgan episodes, too. They were good episodes and a good arc. And then with Morgan and Barriss, there were good episodes in there, mind you. I think my favorite, I mean, the first Morgan one was probably the most solid all around. It was, okay, she just lost everything and she's trying to fight back. And mountain people leader seems to be a pacifist, even though she does have some power that could help. And then it starts with Morgan losing her mother, and it ends with her making this mother lose her daughter and just getting the entire tribe wiped out because she's impatient and reckless and doesn't listen. And okay, that's a decent episode. The second one, also kind of a decent story, I think, about, okay, but like, this is a good idea. Why won't you listen to me? I'm making TIE fighters that could save the Empire. And they're like, okay, but it's too expensive and we don't care enough about our pilots. It's not worth it. And then Thrawn tries to assassinate her and test her. And he's like, okay, basically, I'm valuing you for your good ideas. Here's like, I will listen to you when you have something good to say. So that one's more about, it's a test of loyalty. Like, why should you be loyal to people who wouldn't show any loyalty back to you, who just see you as cannon fodder, who are just going to like, okay, fine. You're the Imperial Boys Club who's just going to do whatever the hell you want. You're not like you're holding this meeting out of optics, I guess, but you're not actually listening to me. But Thrawn actually would. And then the third one is not much there, personally. And then with Barriss, yeah,
is diplomats show up, I'm just going to murder them. The second one is, oh, this town folk won't listen to me and the Empire guys won't listen to my plans. So Thrawn sends an assassin for me to also test me for my physical strength, but only uses me for my intellect. And it's just like, okay. Like all this stuff was okay. Like, I don't think any of it was bad. I think there were some choices that I disagree with. But I was just, I didn't need any of this. Like, I think if they dealt, and it's tough, because if they stuck more with her Night Sister stuff, and I don't even know how, like, if there was maybe more focus on that than...
Yeah. More about her...
in Elspeth Town. I don't know what the town's called, but...
Yeah. More about her religion, oh, yeah, her even witchcraft. Her like we see who she is.
The Night Sister stuff is the thing that is barely explored in any of Star Wars. It's not barely in any of the live action. It kind of is in Ahsoka, but it was created in the Clone Wars. It's like, okay, you have this ex-Night Sister, who her whole family was completely wiped out. Explore that. Explore that her. Explore her culture. Like, you could have even started episode one when Morgan was being indoctrinated or born into the society and you got to see what was the Night Sisters, and then maybe episode two, the genocide happened. I don't know. Just like, make me care about this character instead of two out of the three episodes, she's just a bitch to everybody. Like, she just hates everybody except Thrawn.
Okay. See, that is. I think one of the potential strengths and also the potential downfall about a concept like Tales of the Empire. I don't mind that Morgan was an awful human being because we're following the bad guys. But the problem comes
That's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying, yeah, I already knew Morgan Elsbeth was a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, when I watched her and everything else.
Well, let's see more about her.
So you're just telling me, hey, by the way, she's a bitch again. I knew that. Like, let's see more about her personality or, like, her backstory. Make me want to like this character.
Or like to hate them or just care more
at
all.
Or love to hate, love to love, hate to love, all that type of shit. Make me care.
See a different side to it, maybe. That's what it comes down to. We didn't get another side to it. She's exactly, at the end of these three episodes, Morgan Elsbeth is still exactly who we thought she was.
Yeah.
And I think the show was more successful with Barriss that way. We learn a little bit more about Barriss. She has her ideals tested a little bit more. I think episode 4 is probably the best all around this season.
I love episode 4.
She's taken out of prison. She's brought with her friends who were also former Jedi, and she's told, okay, well, don't leave or else you'll die. Oops, one guy decides to leave. Whoa, I'm just going to walk out of here. He didn't make it. And then she's forced to fight her friend to the death. okay, but better than prison, better than dying. I'm fighting for survival here, and I'm fighting for a place to belong. So screw it. Let's go. And that was a good episode. And it ends with Vader.
What I loved about episode 4 is this is what I fucking wanted since the beginning of when I was born. I want to see more Sith training, Sith indoctrination, Inquisitor stuff. I just want, because all we've been fed is Jedi training, the light side of the Force, but we've never really gone deep into dark side territory. And that this episode is like, okay, this is interesting. We're getting to see the differences between the light side and the dark side, how they use fear and manipulation, how they use each other's, you know, anxieties and angers for them and against each other. That's great. Yep. And then you do the fucking Battlefront 2 thing where she switches back to the good side again.
Yes, now that's my...
This woman, Barriss Offee, a terrorist, blew up the Jedi Temple, killing a few dozen innocents because she hates the Jedi so goddamn much and what they're doing to the galaxy. And she's angry about it. She used that anger, blah, blah, episode 4 is great.
And then she's like, ooh, killing innocents is too much. Yeah.
On her first mission, why are you killing innocents? Oh, because that's just wrong. You're a terrorist.
I know.
Why? Not everybody needs a redemption arc. Now, yeah, I will say. In episode 6, old Barriss, how she's all wise and whatever, that was kind of good. And then by the end of it, when it literally cuts to black, I was like, it was getting really interesting. What are you doing? Because that cave scene was actually kind of cool.
Yeah. I think in terms of this show, it's a fine arc. In terms of Tales of the Empire, Barriss's arc is
fine.
Okay, I'm getting out of prison and find out they're bad, and I want to leave and do my own thing and go back to the Jedi ways, but not be a Jedi. Fine. But if you're comparing it to Clone Wars Season 5, the arc feels very strange because of that. Because the show just completely ignores why she ended up in prison in the first place and the kind of person she'd become to get there. She didn't just blow up the Jedi temple and kill innocents. She also let her best friend take the fall for it and had to be proven guilty. Like, this is the kind of person who rightly ended up in prison at the end of Clone Wars Season 5. So now they're kind of double backing and pretending like she was a better person underneath that all along. Like, okay, yeah, Barriss was good ones. And then she hit a rough patch. So what's wrong with keeping that going? Why can't we get one Inquisitor as a main character who's just bad all the way through? And then you're like, oh, well, what about like Reva or something? I'm like, yeah, okay, but Reva ended up pissing off everybody and didn't end the show as an Inquisitor.
Tried to have a redemption arc a little bit.
Yeah, why can't we have a main Inquisitor who's just an Inquisitor all the way through? If Barriss was going to die, why couldn't, like, Ahsoka kill her? That would have been great.
Hey, remember when in this arc she was very reluctant to take a lightsaber with a red kyber crystal? But all the way back in Season 5 when Anakin was fighting her, which is one of the best fight scenes in that show. He says, funny, those belong to Ventress. And she very clearly and happily says, I think they suit me. So she's already gone that far, in my opinion. But I don't know. That's me being nitpicky. But yeah, but it's just, sick would it been? Because this had so much potential with the Barriss stuff. Like, how sick would it have been? And I'm not even saying that they need to do it in this anthology series. You see, like, old Ahsoka fighting older Barriss. Like, maybe in Season 2 of Ahsoka. Sure. Like, oh, shit, that's crazy. Or just seeing them meet again. Like, that would have been wild. But now she's just...
dead.
She's just all of a sudden good again. And she's dead. Probably... she, like, didn't name drop her in this show, but kind of did. She's like, oh, I have an old friend. She's probably alluding to Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So it's just, and I love you, Disney, and, well, not really. I, like, Star Wars, I love you, but not every single character needs a redemption arc. Like, they really don't. Let characters be bad.
Every bad guy we've seen in Star Wars since the Disney era has gotten a redemption arc. Everyone from, like, I'm not even going to list them all because it's everybody.
Everyone except the Emperor.
And he came pre-Disney.
It's insane.
And George Lucas, Star Wars, I mean, okay, fine, maybe. No, I was going to say Darth Maul too, but that came before the merger. Darth Maul's reintroduction in the Clone Wars came before Disney. So, like, but pretty much every bad guy since 2012 has gotten a redemption arc if they've been in it long enough. Or they die instantly.
I don't know what they're afraid of. Like,
they don't even let anti-heroes be anti-heroes. They don't even let Boba Fett be an anti-hero.
Just let them be evil. Just let them be evil. I don't understand. Like, this is the part, this is the thing people want to see. They want to see bad guys be bad guys.
I think we've had 20 years of nuanced bad guys, and now we're back to wanting black and white morality in our entertainment.
Something just popped in the distance. I don't know what that was. Oh, it might have been fireworks. It's Victoria Day as recording.
I hope it wasn't your 3D printer.
I hope not. Yeah, if that's the squeaking you audio listeners hear in the background, I'm 3D printing some armor right now. So apologies for that if you can hear it, but I don't care. Anyway. But yeah, it's like, all this stuff was good. It just disappointed me and didn't meet my expectations for what the show was, because I have the high expectation coming from Tales of the Jedi, and maybe that's on me, my expectations, but it's the same team, it's the same studio, it's the same writing team, it's the same Filoni. Maybe he changed his cowboy hat, I don't know what happened. But it's just like, there's so much potential here, and maybe it was a studio thing. Maybe they're like, you gotta give Barriss a redemption arc. I don't know. It could have been that. We don't fully know.
I feel like the studio heads don't care about Star Wars animation. They kind of just let them do their thing most of the time. I feel so much more meddling in the movies than I do in the shows.
Yeah.
The live action shows.
Yeah, they probably don't care about.
There's definitely live action. Definitely meddling in the live action shows, but I don't ever feel that in the animation. I feel like that's just Dave Filoni doing whatever, for good or for worse. But yeah, this one was kind of disappointing. The action was decent though for a couple episodes. There was some good set pieces where the opening genocide, that was a good set piece. I think my favorite fight was probably when Barriss had to fight her friend in the closing circle, Fortnite style. And
okay. Final ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the last Morgan Elsbeth episode where she's burning down the forest to stop the ambassadors from leaving.
That looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's moments. The show has moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some moments here and there, but I need it to go all the way. I know it's Disney, I know it's Star Wars, but just go full bad. Just go, like, just do it. And what's the issue here? Because the people want it. If you say the people don't want it, I will give you, I've pulled up stats. I've pulled up the Rotten Tomatoes.
He comes prepared.
Tales of the Jedi. Average audience score, 93%. People loved it. Steep drop off when you go to Tales of the Empire. It's a 51% from the audience.
Oh, that's bad.
That's like 40%. That's
bad.
Well, critics are stupid, but the critics for Tales of the Jedi is 100%, and then Empire, it's 86%. So it is a bit of a drop off, but they're going through all the technical stuff.
Like we do. That's...
Yeah.
See, but we're coming from it from both perspectives, right? Because I always... My personal ethos is I don't think there's very many things I've ever seen in my life that are 100% bad. And the more I get into film criticism, the more I believe that to be true. Because even though the Tales of the Empire stories disappointed me, I raved for like 15 minutes about the animation of this show. And
yeah,
the voice acting's consistent across the board. I don't have any problems with that. The music is consistent too. The action was entertaining. It was decent. The show kept me entertained. I'm bitching about the story and some of the plot elements and the pacing and the writing a bit, but I'm also raving or satisfied by most of the technical elements. So that's why I see why the critics like it so much, because audiences mostly just complain about the story or maybe technical aspects if they're really noticeably bad. But I can't in good conscience give it a, you know, that bad a review when so much is good, right? Not to say I'm...
I hear what you're saying, but I feel like a lot in terms of like the actual reviewers, some stuff gets like lost in the sauce where if the story's not good, like if it's not, I'm not even saying it has to be perfect, but if it doesn't engage you or gain your interest throughout the whole thing, why am I here? What is the point of me watching it? Yes, technically everything can look great. The acting can be phenomenal. But if the story is ass, I'm not going to recommend it to other people. Because what's the point of watching it?
I think some people like to just watch things with half a brain. And I think good enough visual storytelling can compensate for a rough story or rough acting or rough special effects. I think people are just looking to be entertained. And if the technical aspects are entertaining enough, that can mitigate a rough story or any, like, it's, I try to review on the balance for these things. And I'll say that on the balance, there wasn't a whole lot about Tales of the Empire that like the animation blew me away. The rest was, the story was above average and basically everything else was solid, but not that exceptional, which is why it comes down on more the lower end of my ratings, where I say it's something to watch if you're bored. It's not like you'll be kind of passively entertained by it, but it's not necessarily worth investing devoted attention to. Clear your schedule to watch it. You're not even missing anything if you do watch it. That's why I say if you're bored.
Yeah.
Just something to put on.
That's the whole crux of like why we watch things, though, is to like kind of be entertained.
Yeah, it's kind of
entertaining. So like if you're saying like, oh, it's a waste of, it's like, you're not saying it's a waste of time, but it's like, oh, if you're bored, put it on. That's a terrible sell. Like, no offense. But it's just like, why? It's like, okay, I have a friend at work who's also huge on Star Wars, and I told him about this. And he was kind of excited for it, especially the Barriss Offee stuff. And when I had to be honest with him, I was like, you're not missing much, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because it's true. You're not missing anything. With the Dooku stuff, and I keep going back to it because it's the same team, and they dipped. They dipped down hard. They fell off Everest. That shit was important. It was important to see, or not important, but it was awesome to see Dooku's turn from the light side to the dark. Did I need to see it? No. Was I amazingly entertained by it? Absolutely. Did it make Dooku one of the best characters in all Star Wars? Probably. Mm-hmm. And here it's just, hey, you know that character in the Clone Wars that was really cool and was a great friend to Ahsoka and then turned bad? Oh, that was a great arc. Yeah, we kind of just chucked it out the window. And was like, oh, she's good now. And for the people who haven't watched this, and if Barriss shows up later, in anything, in live action or any animation, and all of a sudden she's good now, you're like, well, didn't she just blow up a bunch of innocent people?
Yeah.
It's random. It doesn't fit well in terms of, it's especially the Barriss stuff. The Morgan stuff, I kind of give a pass because I don't give a shit about her. But with the Barriss stuff, it's just like,
inconsistent.
It's just like, it's inconsistent with what her character was at the end of season 5 of Clone Wars. It doesn't really, you know, make me care. It doesn't open up the grounds for the Inquisitor training at all like it should have. It was just another redemption arc just to throw at a redemption arc for a certain character. That's how I see it. And that's why I'm super disappointed with it. Yes, the animation looks great, but it looked about the same as it did a year ago. Like, it didn't make that much big leaps except the dirt.
Except the dirt.
But yeah, it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
I think it's... That's why I say if you're bored, it's not necessarily even worth a watch, but like, for if you're a Star Wars fan who's just... Like, yeah, it's not a complete waste of your time if you're looking to be just entertained, but if you're looking for anything more, like, if you're just looking for passive entertainment, it's better than a lot of things, but it's disappointing on the whole.
I don't know. I don't even know if I can say that, to be honest. And maybe that's just me coming as a Star Wars fan. Yeah. I don't feel like I was... The only things I was really entertained by was Barriss's first episode and a little bit of Morgan's first episode. That's really it.
I think at the very least I can give the Barriss Inquisitor episode a recommend if you're a Clone Wars fan.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, well, I want to see what happened to her afterwards, but the rest is
Yeah. Seeing Darth Vader was cool in animation.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
For like 5 seconds.
It's always cool to see him. So if we're done with this, I have a question of the week for you.
Okay.
What and whom should the next season of Tales be about?
Well, if they keep going back and forth on Tales of the Jedi or Tales of the Empire, I don't really know. But I have someone made a joke at work where it's like they're going through the different factions of Star Wars, and like the next one is Tales of the Bounty Hunters or something like that, or Tales of the Smugglers. So I guess something on Bosk would be kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. That sounds interesting. Like one of the assassins.
Aayla Secura, maybe.
Because
something like
Aayla Secura.
She had an arc in Clone Wars. She's been established.
Yeah.
We know how she died.
It's weird
because
I feel like we've gotten a lot of Jedi stuff. Yeah. Aayla Secura died in Solo?
They mentioned how she died in Solo. It was Woody Harrelson killed her.
Huh. I don't remember that.
She pushed her off a cliff or something. That's what he said. Something like it was just a throwaway.
Pushed a Jedi off a cliff? All right.
I don't remember.
Wait, no. Aayla Secura died in Revenge of the Sith. She got shot up.
Oh, sorry, not Aayla Secura. Aurra Sing. That's who I was thinking of. She was the bounty hunter.
Oh.
Boba Fett's mentor. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. In terms of Empire, I think it would be... But they've already ruined it. I think it'd be interesting to see like some of the Grand Inquisitor stuff. Like how he became the top guy for Vader to lead these group of people. And then, I don't know, maybe even some like behind the scenes stuff of Palpatine, just to see like more of the scheming. I think that'd be interesting. But also I kind of like the mystery of his scheming as well.
That'd be kind of cool.
So there's that. I don't know, maybe do one where you make Starkiller canon. I don't know. That's
Starkiller, you can't make Starkiller canon without ruining it. I'm just saying, in old expanded universe, Starkiller was so powerful, they needed to invent all of the Inquisitors just to do what Starkiller and Vader did.
Yeah, Starkiller
was a
god.
Just the two of them. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
So, my
pitch... Don't care if you depower him.
My pitch is Tales of the Rebellion, and the two characters I was racking my brain to think who could be interesting, I think Wedge Antilles and Bail Organa.
Yeah.
You have the rebel pilot who's we never really got much about Wedge Antilles. He's always just sort of been there, but like okay, how did a guy like Wedge Antilles get into the rebellion? Like one of the rebels' best pilots. And then as a counterpoint to that, you can have Bail Organa, the senator, who you see what he's doing on the political front. Like, I know you're kind of getting that from Mon Mothma and Endor, but she's handling more of the finances of the rebellion right now in that show, where Bail Organa can be like, okay, but what's happening in the Imperial Senate right now, which we haven't gotten much of? So that's my pitch. Tales of the Rebellion with Wedge Antilles and Bail Organa.
That'd be sick. Yeah. Be interesting. Wasn't Wedge Antilles Luke's friend from Tatooine?
Yeah. No.
I think there's a deleted scene. Oh, no. That's
no, that
else.
Was...
That's
The guy with the mustache.
Yeah. I don't know.
Biggs. Biggs
sure.
Something. It's like Biggs Dark Lighter. So I don't remember.
Cover me, Porkins.
Oh, poor Porkins. Anyway, that's been Tales of the Empire. Where can we find you?
I don't want you to find me. Leave me alone. Anyway, you can find me at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram.
You can find him there, but leave him alone. You heard him.
Anyway. Don't talk to me.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Play Media. And I'm happy for you to find me there. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us in audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next Close Up with Ryan and Joe, where we review Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. More positively than Tales of the Empire, I'll tell you that now for a tease. Till next time.
Take care.